Mark chapter 4 and verse 35.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Mark 4 and 35. When you have it, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yesterday during intercessory prayer, Elder Moore, he prayed about this very scripture right here. And I was like, wow. Verse 35, and on that day when the evening had come, he said to them, let us go over to the other side. And leaving the multitude, they took him along with them, just as he was in the boat, and the other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. And he himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And being aroused, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, be still. And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. The Message Bible said that that the wind ran out of breath. When he spoke those words, the wind ran out of breath. Good Lord from Zion. And he said to them, why are you so timid, so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they became very much afraid and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? And while they were on the way to the other side, there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. And he himself was in the stern asleep on the cushion, and they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Thank you, Lord, for the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, clap your hands for the word of God. All right. People often talk about the calm after the storm. How that after storms are done with whatever chaos they cause, that there tends to be a calmness afterwards.
Yeah.
After tornadoes wreak havoc, hurricanes, typhoons, tsunamis. In the midst of the destruction, there's an eerie, almost scary calm and quietness. And as I thought about that, I was wondering, why do we have to wait until the storm is over to experience calm? I figure since we're believers and we know all this word, that for us there ought to be a calm in the storm. So I really didn't come today to preach about making it to the other side. Didn't come to talk about that at all. Didn't come to talk about the command to go to the other side. I'm not going to stand here today and tell you, you're going to the other side. No, we're not doing that today. We're not talking about getting to the other side. You ought to know by now you're going. If Jesus said that's where we're headed, then by now you ought to know we're going there. You touch your neighbor and say, we're going there. We're going. And I'm not going to talk about how Jesus jumped up out of the bed and spoke to the wind and the sea and said, peace, be still, and everything, and the wind ran out of breath and everything stopped, and there was calm, and how they feared him and said, even the winds and the sea obey him. I want to focus on the fact that while all this was going on, Jesus was sleeping. That spoke to me so loudly and so clearly that with everything that was going on in the boat, Jesus was in the stern and he was completely asleep, nowhere near awake. With all of the water, the boat was almost filled with water, and somehow Jesus managed to still sleep. Even with the possibility of water getting on him, it wasn't enough to wake him up. The screams and the cries of his disciples were not enough to wake him up. It wasn't until they shook him that Jesus became alert and then handled things around him. I want to tell you a few things about the storm, first of all. We've already read the verses. The topic for today is the calm in the storm. The calm in the storm. The first thing I want to tell you about the storm is the storm was sudden. It was sudden. The Bible describes the storm as being sudden, something that was not being looked for. It wasn't like conditions were set and right for the storm, but the storm kind of came from out of nowhere. It might have been bright and beautiful and sunny as they were headed to where they were headed, and all of a sudden the storm strikes. But if the storm was only sudden, maybe we could handle that, but the storm was violent. Yeah. It was a crazy storm with the wind raging and going crazy to the point where you couldn't even hear yourself think. So much water coming in the boat that they were panicking. Fishermen, y'all, this had to be an intense storm, because experienced fishermen, Peter, James, John, in the boat, and they are also panicking because of the intensity of the storm. Some of us have been through storms. Some of us have already been through storms that came up out of nowhere. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When everything was going well in your life and you were headed toward your destiny and the plan of God, and a sudden storm arose. It's one thing for the storm to catch you by surprise and be sudden, but it's another thing for it to be so violent that you question whether or not you're going to be able to make it. But the other thing that I want to say about the storm is the storm was common. It wasn't like this was the kind of thing that never happened. These storms were common. They happened all the time in this area. Storms would pop up just like that from out of nowhere. So this was a common occurrence on the sea that they were traveling. And the next thing I want to say about the storm is there was not just one, but there were two. There were two storms. There was the storm that they were in, and there was the storm that was in them. There was a storm that they were currently in physically, the thing that they were dealing with, the thing that they were battling against, trying to row to the other side, trying to row against the current, trying to bail out. One group of guys on the oars trying to row to get to the other side. Another group of guys are trying to get the water out of the ship. Another group of guys are trying to encourage those who were working. A couple of guys praying, and Jesus all along is sleeping. And they come to a point where none of their physical efforts seem to be working. None of what they do in their own strength seems to be working. And now they are at the place where they are so fearful that they don't know what to do. Now they think they are going to die, and they have forgotten the words of Christ on the other side of the shore. Let us go to the other side. They've lost total faith in the word that was spoken over their lives. And I don't want us to sit here on this Sunday and look down on these disciples because they forgot the word during the storm, because many of us forget the word while we're in the storm. And it's not the exterior storm that causes us to be so forgettable. It's not the physical storm that causes us to have spiritual amnesia, but it is the internal storm caused by the physical storm. I want to submit to you today that you can be in the storm of your life and still be cool. You can be in the storm of a lifetime and still have your wits about you. Still be able to quote scripture. Still be able to remember the promise of God. Still be able to lift your hands. Still be able to pray in confidence and not fear. Because many times when we pray, we are not praying in confidence. We are praying because we are scared to death. But we've got to get ourselves together. And we've got to remain calm in the inner man, so what's happening outside of us will not impact us. The disciples, I want to move away from the storm now. There was a storm in them. Touch your neighbor and say, don't let the storm get in you. It doesn't matter how bad it is outside of you. Don't you let what's happening outside of you get in you. Because when it gets in you, that's what begins to cause you to sink. Let me tell you something. If the boat sinks and you're still alive, while you're floating in the water, you ought to give God the glory. Because the boat is not your salvation anyway. The boat is merely a vehicle to get you from one side to another. And if God can give you one boat, He... We're around here panicking over modes of transportation. Let's move on from the storm. Let's talk about the disciples. The disciples, first of all, were aware. They were aware. These guys knew the area. They knew the landscape. Just like you know where you live. And you know that at certain times of day, you don't take certain roads. You know that if you go up on 21 between 5:30 and 7 o'clock, you're going to be in a line. You already know that you cannot move on 95 around 6. If you're between Pooler Parkway and where you get off at 21, you're going to be stuck. And you're going to ease. You know where you live at. You know the landscape. They were aware that storms came up on this body of water. That these storms were a possibility. Somebody say, on this body of water.
On this body of water.
On this body of water, they understood that because the water, the area of water was beneath, below sea level. And the area was so high above them that the wind would sweep through and cause these violent storms. They knew exactly where they were. And I wonder why it is that since we know where we are, that we're so blown away by the fact that they're going to be stormed. I mean, you know you're not in heaven yet. You know you're not with Jesus yet. Why in the world do storms seem to surprise us so severely? I mean, you on this evil earth. You on this body of water. I mean, you know there's going to be a storm sometime. Somebody shake your neighbor and say, there's going to be a storm sometime. You are fully aware that there are going to be storms. The issue is you just don't like them. But storms pass. No storm lasts forever. All storms come and all storms go. They were aware. They knew. The Bible makes us aware that there will be storms in John 16 and 33 when it says, in the world ye shall have tribulation. The Message Bible says it like this: in this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties. Come on, believer, talk back to me. Acts 14:22 says, it is necessary to pass through many troubles on our way into the kingdom of God. Oh, 1 Peter 4:12 says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing was happening unto you. Why do we act like this is strange? Why do we act like this is out of the ordinary? Storms are going to come. Sometimes they're going to be sudden. Sometimes they're going to be violent. And sometimes they're going to be both. Sometimes they're short storms. Sometimes they're long storms. But I come to tell you that when the storm is over, if you trust in the Lord, you still be standing. The disciples were not only aware, they were unprepared. You see, sometimes we get lulled into a false sense of security because there is no storm currently. It is amazing how spiritual we become once the wind starts blowing. But then while nothing's going on, you can't get folk to pray. Oh, Lord. It's amazing how much Bible we'll read when the water's coming into the ship. And we feel like we're not going to make it. I know I'm not talking about anybody here. I'm just making generalized statements about the fact that many times, just like the disciples, we are totally unprepared. We are not ready. We have not spent time in prayer. We have not been fasting. We have not been in the Word. We have not been in the community of believers. We have not been attending church regularly. We have not been seeking the Lord and His presence. We have not been following God's purpose and plan for our lives. We have not been believing God. But when the storm comes, we get right into the Bible. We get right into the church. We get right into the Word. We call one of the elders on the speed dial and say, pray with me. Come on, watch the storm come. But the problem is that we're not prepared for the storm because we hadn't spent any time in storm preparation. You cannot wait until the hurricane comes to board up your windows. You cannot wait until they tell you go to the store to buy water to go get some, because when you get there, there will be none. People in Atlanta were mad at the mayor, mad at the governor, mad at the school. But who in the world told you to drive around with a quarter tank of gas? And now they cussing the mayor out because they ran out of gas on the side of the road. That ain't the mayor's fault. Lack of preparation. The disciples were afraid. They were scared. The reason that they were so afraid is because they were unprepared. They just weren't ready. But if you know you're in a body of water where storms can come up out of nowhere, it seems like to me that you would be ready at any moment for a storm. What you doing all that praying for? Don't know when the next storm might come. What you storing up all them nuts for, Mr. Squirrel? Winter's coming. And don't you come knocking at my tree. Because you could have been storing up nuts just like me. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. We run around from Christian to Christian, trying to borrow from their preparedness. Because we were too lazy, too thoughtless to prepare on our own. Please, nobody get mad at me. But I just want to encourage you so you can be able to handle a storm. Can I tell you before I go any further that there will be another storm? I don't like it, but it's the truth. I'd like to go from here to heaven without another storm another day in my life. But then again, now that I think about it, maybe I don't. Amen. Because some of the storms that God has allowed to come into my life, and I'm sure your life, have helped you to grow to become the Christian that you are right now. Amen. Not only were they unprepared, they were aware and they were afraid. The disciples were unsure. They were unsure. Let me tell you what they were unsure of. They were unsure of the love that Christ had for them. This came to me because of our series of Bible study, Love Never Fails. And I thought about the multitude of people who get in a storm and become unsure as to whether or not God loves them or not. This unsurety is evidenced by the question they asked Jesus once they woke him up. Master, don't you care that we are perishing? What do you mean, don't you care? If I didn't care, you'd be dead by now. What do you mean, don't you care? If he didn't care, the last storm would have took you out. Dude, does he care? They ask, does he care? It reveals their unsureness as to whether or not Jesus loves them. I'm done with the disciples. Now I want to talk about Jesus. Ain't but a few things I got to say about Jesus, actually two of them, and we'll be going on home. Yeah. The first thing I want to say about Jesus is that he was asleep. Now right there, we should have shouted all over the church. Jesus, in the midst of all this chaos, is sleeping. The Bible says he's in the stern of the ship, and he's got a cushion. A pillow for his head. Which means he meant to go to sleep and stay to sleep. No, you didn't hear me. He didn't fall asleep. You don't just fall. When you go on a boat and you get a pillow, you mean to go to sleep. And he didn't mean to sleep for a little while, Bishop. He meant to sleep. Now, Jesus, because he knows everything. Y'all remember the scriptures where the people were thinking stuff about Jesus. They weren't saying it. And Jesus said, "Why? Now, why are you saying that in your heart?" So if he knows what somebody's saying in their heart, certainly he knew the storm was coming. Now, did you catch that? Certainly he knew the storm was coming, yet he goes and gets a pillow, carries it to the stern, lays down, puts his head on the pillow, and goes to sleep knowing the storm is coming. Did you know he knew your storm was coming? Did you know he knew, and he just as relaxed as he can be? Cool as a cucumber. As the brother says on ESPN, cool is the other side of the pillow. Jesus is the coolest man ever to walk the earth. Jokers think they cool now. Ain't nobody as cool as Jesus. Jesus so cool, a little boy convulsing on the ground, and he looks at the father and says, "How long has he been this way?" Because he knows he can handle the situation. So Jesus is asleep. What that says to me is peace. Jesus is at peace, not after the storm, but in the storm. You got to go with me. Isaiah 9 and 6 says, "For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful." Come on, Counselor. Come on, Mighty God. Come on, the Everlasting Father. What's that? The Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace is in the ship while there's a storm, and they're panicking. Isaiah 26 and 3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." What are you focused on? Are you focused on the Savior, or are you focused on the storm? Because what keeps your attention is what's going to get inside of you. John 14, 27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you." Look at what it says not next. "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So the key here is that you don't have to let your heart be troubled. Your heart cannot be troubled unless you give it permission. Your heart pretty much got to do what you tell it to do. That's why one of those scriptures says, hope. He said, "Why art thou disquieted, O my soul? Why art thou cast down within me?" He says, "Hope thou in God." He said, "You know what? I'm going to make up my mind. I'm going to tell my soul what to do." Let not your heart be troubled. Don't you let your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. John 16, 33. We might as well read the whole thing. We read a part of it a moment ago. Let's read the whole thing. "I have told you these things so that in me you might have perfect peace. and confidence. You see, in the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. So you just take that one right there, cut that, just take that then, just that's the Amplified Bible. Go and get that, cut that out, print it, cut it out, put it in your purse, put it in your pocket. That's a word right there.
Amen.
He says that whatever storm you're in, he says, I've already taken the power of it to overcome you away from it. So the wind is blowing, but it can't hurt you. The water's in the ship, but it can't drown you. I mean, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. I'm telling you, I've already taken the power away from it. And even though it looks scary, that's all it can ever do is look scary because it can't do nothing to you. Don't you know the reason that the devil is going about as a roaring lion? Because I took his teeth. There ain't nothing he can do but gum on you. He can't hurt you if you know that this thing has no power over you. I'm almost finished, y'all. So we have a new code of conduct. I hope I sent you this, high school. We have a new code of conduct. Are you ready? We can't panic until he panics. This is our new code of conduct. I can't panic until he panics. So the next time you're in a panic state, I need you to tell me whether Jesus is panicking with you. Everybody say it with me. This is my code of conduct. I cannot panic until he panics. Now, I heard some people saying, well, he never panics. Well, when we are tempted to panic, because we'll be tempted, though, won't we? Mother, we'll be tempted. When we're tempted to panic, hear this now. We have to remember these five words from Colossians 1:27. Now before, they are they up already?
Yeah.
Read them. Christ in you, the hope. Yeah. You have to remember Christ in you, the hope. Now, I know he's the hope of glory. I know. I'm not changing the word. I just borrowed five words from it because I want you to focus on something. Christ is in you. And you are in the storm. And he is calm within you. And the calmness of Christ in you ought to keep you calm in the storm. Because you represent the boat. That is in the storm. I wish I had some. And though your life is taking on a lot of water, you need to have confidence in the one who's in you. You are in the storm, but Christ, the hope of glory, is in you. Somebody say, Christ is in me. Christ in me, the hope. The hope, why do we choose the word hope? The word hope means to desire with expectation of attainment. It means to expect with confidence. It means to trust. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood. Come on, and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Come on, church, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground, sinking sand.
Christ in us is the hope, our expectation that though I'm in the storm, this storm won't kill me. I heard the word while I was still on land, and that's what made me get in this boat. And I can't die because it was prophesied over my life that I'm going to the other side. Woo! I said I wasn't going to talk about that, but I feel like it. Look at your neighbor and said, I'm going to the other side. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God. Somebody grab your neighbor by the hand and minister to him. Tell him you will make it to your destination. Tell him this storm was meant to stop you, but this storm is going to end up being a part of your testimony that you're going to tell when you get to the other side. Yeah. You're going to sound just like one of them old church mothers. You're going to sound just like one of them church mothers that said, through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Twas grace that brought me safe this far, and grace, author of faith, to thee I lift my weary. That gift, my soul, without it dies. I'm gonna make it. You're gonna make it. There will be storms, but there's a calm in the storm. Somebody tell your neighbor, there's a calm in the storm. You don't have to wait until after the storm is over to have a calm. Somebody say, I know what my hope is. Jesus is the calm in the storm. Jesus is the calm in the storm. Say that to yourself. Jesus is the calm in the storm. He's not the calm after the storm. He's the calm in the storm. There's something about a calming influence. There's something, twins, about somebody who doesn't panic when you panic. There's something about having somebody in the room who can stay calm while everything else has gone crazy. And that influence has an impact on everybody else in the room. When everybody else wants to lose it, there's something about having that person with the calm of Christ in them that just brings everything down. You call for people like that sometimes in your life, don't you? People that you know that no matter how crazy you are at the moment, you know that when you call them, they're going to be calm and they're just going to speak a word into your situation. You are that person because you have Christ in you. Remember, you are in the storm. Just don't let the storm get in you. The boat may not survive, but know that you will. Let me give you some reassuring scriptures and we're going to go.
Jesus is the calm in the storm. Psalm 93 and 4. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. Yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Jeremiah 32, 17. This is it. Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Lift your hands if you're in a storm, if you just come out of one. Lift your hands if you think you might go through another one. I want you right now, I'm releasing you to worship the God of the earth who is able to calm every storm in your life. Who is able to command every storm in your life to stop. See, this is our position in the storm. This is what we do while the storms are raging. This is how we respond while it's happening at that moment. We don't wait until it's over. We don't wait. We do it now. We give him glory in the middle of it. God, I thank you. Come on and worship him. Come on, let's bless the Lord. Yes, in the middle of this thing, I'm going to worship you, God. I'm going to give you glory. While it's going on, God. While it's happening, God. I'm going to give you glory. I'm going to magnify your name. Come on, everybody. Worship the Lord in this place. Come on, worship the Lord in this place. Come on, he is your hope. He is your hope. He is your hope. Hallelujah. God, I bless your name. God. I thank you, Lord, that you are my calm in the storm. You are my calm. You are my calm in the storm. Hallelujah. Come on, praise him in the storm. Look at the word. Come on, let's praise him in the storm. We're not waiting until it's over. We're going to praise you right now, God. We're going to worship you now, God. We're going to magnify you now, God. We're going to lift you up right now, God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Mighty God. Mighty God. Mighty God. Mighty God. Mighty God. There is nothing too hard for God. There is nothing too hard for God. Our God, mightier than the wind. Our God, mightier than the waves of the sea. Our mighty God is the calm in the storm. Father, we thank you today for this word. Thank you, Lord, for what you've spoken over the house. There are so many different storms going on in this room. But God, I thank you that you are our calm. Christ in us, the hope of glory. There's no panic in us because you are in us. We refuse, Lord God, to be fearful. We refuse to be afraid, but we place our trust in you. Thank you, God, that we don't look at our storm, but we keep our mind on you. And you keep us in perfect peace. For those who've just come out of the storm, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you, God, that they made it. And even though there were a few moments in there when it didn't look like they'd come out, God, I am so glad that they are still here. Thank you, God, for your ability to preserve us and to keep us. But I thank you, Lord, that another storm won't catch us off guard. That from this point on, because we know where we live, we'll be ready for every storm. In Jesus' name, amen. Hug somebody.